Welcome back to the final segment of Monday Night Talk. And as folks have come to realize with the program, I try to break up the program in a certain way where the beginning of the show, we talk politics, local issues. Politics could be local politics, national politics. We get around the 7 o'clock hour. We might kind of loosen things up a little bit. Maybe we talk to authors. But by the time we get to 7:30, we are talking with folks from the area. Maybe they got causes or events that they're doing. Maybe they're a book author. And oddly enough, this segment, we are going to talk about somebody who has their own book. And we have other folks who Lexi Williams, who is here, and her mom, Alice, as well as Victoria Bond, who Victoria is no stranger to this program, as she's been in here with her husband, Adam Bond. And I credit Victoria for this segment. Victoria was the one who kind of gave me a little insight to Lexi and this fantastic book that she has out called Lexi's Gift, a cookbook for kids living with cancer. And we're going to talk with them about this book, talk about what went into putting this together, and hopefully we'll entice you into looking at this book, buying this book, and realizing that it's a healthy choice. It doesn't have to be somebody who has a medical issue, but it's a way of life, is how to live and eat healthy. That's what's important here. First and foremost, I turn my attention to Victoria. Tell me how you came to meet Lexi and what your relationship is with her.
Well, thanks for having me on, Kevin. I appreciate it. I met Lexi this year. I've actually, this past year, I've spent the year teaching theater arts at Northbrook Academy, and Lexi is a student there. So I actually have had the good fortune of teaching Lexi this year. So I'm her theater arts teacher, and over the course of the year, she was telling me about herself, and I realized she's a rather remarkable young woman, and she showed me her book and talked about a cooking club that she used to host at Northbrook, and she was looking for a teacher to get involved so she could bring the cooking club back. And so I volunteered. And I have to say I'm so glad that I did, because I'm learning a tremendous amount from this student. I really am.
And let's, I know you personally. You're more than just a teacher. You're also somebody who is a food connoisseur, such as myself. You love food, and I think that would be another thing that would be intriguing to you, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? You know I am a foodie. I am a foodie of the nth degree. So, yeah, cooking, I'm all in. What surprised me and where I'm learning so much is the angle of this cookbook is really about replacing those things in our lives that really are not healthy for us with, you know, alternatives. And she really does a remarkable job of sort of laying out and explaining to the reader why these things aren't healthy, why we should avoid them, how they affect us negatively, what we can replace them with, and on top of it, awesome recipes. Just some really delicious food in the book. So,
do you see the purpose why Victoria's here? I mean, I think she really encapsulated it well. And now we kind of bring in, I apologize, we got Lexi here and we have Alice here. And how does it feel, Lexi, to, we're sitting here kind of talking about you, like you're not even here. Kind of introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Lexi Williams, and I am the author of the cookbook Lexi's Gift, a cookbook for kids living with cancer. And when I was 3.5 months old, I was diagnosed with a low-grade hypothalamic optic glioma astrocytoma brain tumor. And I was then 4 months old when I had a major brain surgery to try to remove the tumor. And they were only able to get about half of it out. And then the tumor was stable until I was 5 years old, and it grew to be double the size it originally was. So I had another brain surgery where they weren't really able to get that much out, and then that was followed by two protocols of chemotherapy, which started when I was 6 years old and ended when I was 9 years old. And when I was 9, when I finished chemotherapy, we were trying to find a way to keep my tumor from growing that didn't include chemo, surgery, or radiation. And we found that nutrition was one of the main ways. So my mom and I, we went out to bookstores and we bought cancer cookbooks. And we tried some of the recipes, except the only problem, though, was that we didn't like any of them because they weren't kid-friendly. So around the same time, we were introduced to the Magical Moon Foundation, which is located in Marshfield.
Right here in Marshfield.
Yep. And it is for kids with life-threatening illnesses, and they get knighted, and then they get to come up with a mission. And their mission usually has something to do with what they learned through their cancer journey. So that's when I decided that I would write a kid's cancer cookbook.
Alice, I have to bring you in as the mom. Welcome, first and foremost, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
I don't think you realized that you were going to be get in on the conversation, did you?
Well, I didn't know, but I'm more than willing.
I think I want to hear from your viewpoint. We here, me, you, and Victoria, we're all parents, and it's not easy being a parent, and to what you as a parent had to endure in regards to with Lexi and her disposition. I mean, kind of. Looking here now in hindsight, could kind of talk to me about the road to where we are now.
Well, thank you. I think that when your child has cancer, it's very scary. And when the chemotherapy is over and you don't know what else to do, but the last thing you want to have happen is have a brain tumor return, because that's very bad. And we didn't just want to do nothing. So we did work with a nutritionist, and when we found out that some of the things that she put into her body could either help or harm her, we thought, well, let's try to do nutrition. Let's try to give it a shot. I'm not sure nutrition stops a brain tumor, but I believe that nutrition can cause your body to be a stronger vessel, which is less likely to have cancer cells starting back up or creeping back in. So we went full force ahead with the nutrition. But as I said, she's a kid. She is a kid who's had a lot of chemotherapy. It changes the way you taste things. It changes the way you feel about food. So the adult cancer cookbooks were not working. If you never ate butternut squash soup before, you're probably not going to start as a kid with cancer. It's just not going to happen. So we were very discouraged, and we didn't know what to do. And Lexi finally decided. She said, I'm going to write my own cookbook. And that was a little lofty of a goal for her. But through a lot of magic and a lot of helping people, we found some folks that really helped to get this project off the ground. And we were very blessed to have found some people to help her do that.
So I got to kind of go back to, again, being a parent, looking at, now, again, we haven't given the age of Lexi. How old is Lexi now?
She's now 17.
She's 17. Talk to me. I mean, here she is, somebody who is, I kind of see her as a celebrity, kind of a star here. Somebody who has achieved, and you know, while you know, when you're dealing with something like this, you're always in the back of your mind saying, hopefully we're out of the woods here, and that this is in remission, that she has been able to persevere and put something like this together. It's, as a parent, it has to kind of moisten your eyes and be like, this is awesome, instead of having a child who's like, woe is me. This is a child who is empowered.
Right. And I think that's, we are so grateful to the Magical Moon Foundation, because when she met Donna Green from the Magical Moon Foundation, Donna immediately said to her, I see that you will do something big. Donna believed in her, and she saw something in Lexi that I'm not sure I even knew about or saw at the time. We were so much in the middle of just trying to get through the cancer business. And Donna just said, what do you want to do? Whatever you want to do, we're going to make it happen. Mm. And she found people. Donna Green found people. We found Georgia up in Maine, who had already written her own cookbook, who was very invested when she heard about Lexi's mission in trying to help her. And Georgia and Lexi formed this very tight bond, this long-distance tight bond. And they came together to have actual cooking days with other kids. She was able to cook with the other kids at the Cordon Bleu in Cambridge with the chefs there.
Wow.
And the cancer kids that are other knights and their siblings all came, and we cooked in this huge kitchen with these really fancy cooks. And it was just such a powerful experience to have everyone bonding around this cookbook, everyone helping their energy, the other knights. And we believe there was some divine intervention as well. Her cookbook's dedicated to a boy named Kyle, who died of his brain tumor, but he couldn't read. And he would carry cookbooks around everywhere with him, and he loved to look at the pictures. So we firmly believe that Kyle helped us find a woman in Maine to get a cookbook written with a girl in Lakeville, Massachusetts, through a farm in Marshfield. So it felt like it was bigger than us, really.
I would ask you, what was it like putting this together, Lexi?
It was a really great experience. I mean, it took 3 years to put it together, and there were some stressful moments, but I really learned a lot from it. And when I was finally able to hold it in my hand, it was just a great relief, and I was just proud of myself and the whole team who worked to get this done, and I really learned a lot from it.
Tell me some of the key things that you feel you learned on this journey.
I would say I learned teamwork and patience, and that when you really feel like you really want something and you know what's best, you can't just let it go. If someone else doesn't want it, you really have to go for it. And it usually will work out in the best. I mean, when I was creating this cookbook, I wanted there to be a picture for every recipe, because I believe that when I'm looking through a cookbook, I don't look at the titles, I look at the pictures, and that's how I decide if I want to make a recipe or not. So I really wanted there to be a picture for every recipe, and I had to fight for that, because that, of course, took more money, because it was more printing and more coloring, and I was able to get it done, and a lot of people comment on that, as that's one of the things I really like about it, that there is a picture for every recipe.
What do you think, Victoria? Give me your thoughts on some of the things that Lexi has mentioned, and as far as somebody who's viewed the cookbook, give me your thoughts on it.
As I said before, I just have learned a remarkable amount looking through the cookbook. And you don't, I think unfortunately, we are sort of trained to eat what's available, easily available. And so I know for myself, a lot of the food choices I make are based on convenience, and health actually is secondary, if thought of at all. It's made me think about food in a different way, and it's an extremely user-friendly book. I mean, it's the pictures are phenomenal. I've tried a couple of the recipes in the book, and I've enjoyed all of them. My favorite being the ginger chicken soup. I love that. I do. I love that. It's such a good recipe. It's just made me more thoughtful. It's made me really, rather than putting convenience first, it's made me kind of really start making decisions that maybe are healthier for me, for my family. And that's a huge gift, a huge gift.
I have to ask, Lexi, of all these that you put together, what is your favorite? I mean, we just heard Victoria kind of talking about what her favorite recipe is in the book, one of her favorites. What would be a couple of, I'm sure you're going to tell me all of them are your favorite, but you've got to have specific favorites that, you know what, in a moment's notice, I've got to have this.
Yes, well, I don't have one specific favorite because I love all of them, but some of my favorites are the stone pizza, which is one of the best pizza I've ever had before. I also really love the desserts just because they're healthy, like they're lower glycemic, so they don't have as much sugar in them. Mm. Yet you would never know, though. The pudding, the energy bars, the cookies, everything is just so good, especially the gluten-free section. The brownies and bun cake in there, you would never be able to guess that they're gluten-free. So definitely the desserts, definitely the stone pizza. I really have a hard time, though, picking an absolute favorite.
Okay. And again, we're speaking with Lexi Williams. Lexi, Lexi's short for?
Alexandra.
I did that for your mom, just want you to know. seeing that mom and dad, I'm sure, are very responsible in picking your name, and then you may have a nickname, but you know, we as parents, we like to make sure we kind of get it out there. It's a pride thing. We have Alice Williams, who's here as well as Victoria Bond, who playfully blame for introducing me to Lexi and making this whole experience possible, because I like the idea of telling folks, this is a community radio station, and it's about community, and sharing Lexi's story, Lexi and Alice's story, as to, you know, what they've done and what Lexi has been able to accomplish. I have to ask Alice. We've kind of went around the room here, and I don't want to be unfair and omit you from the process. Is there anything in the book that you are you gonna give me the politically correct answer and tell me everything in the book you like, or is there? Do you have a couple of favorites?
Absolutely not. I will give you my favorite is the chocolate pudding. If Lexi keeps a blenderful of the chocolate pudding in the fridge, I am a happy woman. I think the gift of this cookbook is that I will have dessert every night. I just love sweets. But if she keeps me in a low glycemic sweet, that is what I will eat. And I won't go anywhere near all the other desserts that I would have eaten if I didn't have this choice always available. So I just ask her, please make something. Make a cookie, make a brownie, make that pudding. And then that's what I have after dinner. And I'm completely satisfied, and it's healthy. So it's been a real gift.
We do have some of that in our fridge right now, too.
It's kind of the curse of being an adult. Having that sweet tooth, and if it's if there's something that's available, it's tough. I mean, as we get older, it's not as easy to burn off those calories unless we are on we're on a good diet, and unless we have some kind of an exercise program, it will just kind of sit around our midsection and other parts of our body where we don't want it to. And so it's kind of cool that you mentioned that. What's the website? If folks want to purchase a copy, we'll do this at the end of the program as well, or the end of the segment anyways, which will be the end of the program. How can folks get a copy of this book and find out more about you, Lexi?
They can purchase the book online at donnagreen.com. Again, that's donnagreen.com, donnagreen.com.
Okay. I guess I want to, we talked about gluten-free. That's like the new thing. I call it a new thing. I don't remember 10, 15, 20 years about people, restaurants saying, oh, we offer gluten-free. And it's like, gluten-free? What the heck is that? But that's something that as we advance medically, we learn that there are certain things that people are afflicted, whether it's allergies, stuff like that. It's interesting. Is there certain things that when you put this together that maybe, you want to have the sweet, but you don't want to use cane sugar? Did you use different substitutes like that? Talk to me about that part of the book where you had to use substitutes to make it taste good and have that fulfill like mom's sweet tooth, but yet it's not using the exact ingredient.
Yes, well, all of the recipes in the cookbook are lower glycemic, non-fermented, yeast-free, and low inflammatory. So some of the substitutes that we use is instead of sugar, we use coconut nectar, coconut crystals, and coconut oil. And when I tell people that, their first question is always, do they taste like coconut? And the answer is no, they don't. Especially when you put them in the recipe with all the other ingredients, you can't taste the coconut. And instead of dairy products, so instead of milk, we use soy milk or rice milk or almond milk. And instead of butter, we use ghee, which is pretty much a substitute for butter. It's butter just without the fat. So we use whole wheat flour, and we also use gluten-free flour instead of white flour. We use bittersweet chocolate chip or chocolate instead of regular chocolate because bittersweet is healthier.
Now, I think, Mom, were you going to lean in and say something?
Well,
real quick?
I think what helps is that the cookbook outlines all these substitutes. So, if you're going to use a cup of sugar in a recipe, you can use a cup of coconut crystals, and that will be a workable substitute. It won't be quite as sweet, but it will still be sweet and way better for you. So, there's even a way not just to have to cook straightly out of the cookbook, but to learn to make the substitutions yourself and try it out on your own recipe. I mean, ultimately, that would be the goal, is to have people really know what they're doing regarding substitutions, and then they can use some of their favorite recipes and try to make them a little healthier.
Now, have you ever seen the movie, is it Julie and Julia or Julie and Julie?
Julie and Julia.
I haven't.
I've seen it, yes.
You've seen it? Well, then Mom can answer the question. And that is if anybody has seen that movie, it's basically about, you kind of see a parallel type of thing where you have one woman who's doing all of these recipes that Julia Child, who everybody knows, everybody recognizes from, not necessarily Saturday Night Live, but you know for PBS, her days on PBS and all the things that she would make and the way that she would do them. And then you have this in the movie, you have this woman who is kind of doing all of her recipes, and she has set a timeline when she's going to make all these. In order to complete the book, was that something that you had to put all attempt to make all the recipes, taste them, and make sure that before you put them in here, that everything applied? Is that what happened?
Well, we not only had to attempt all the recipes, but we had to have them kid tested. So that was the issue. We tested them. We got feedback back to Georgia. We would send her a recipe. She would tweak it, send it back. Then we would try it. But the ultimate goal was to have to make sure that kids would like it. So we had a lot of kid testing going on. And we were very lucky because the kids loved the food. I'll remember at the Cordon Bleu, one of the siblings, I asked him, I said, "Zach, which did you like best? What did you like best of the food we brought today?" And he said, "All of it, of course." And this food in this cookbook is really, really good, and kids love it. So I remember when Lexi started the cooking club, and she said, we made Kick It Up kale spread. And I said, "Lexi, they ate green stuff?" And she's like, "Yeah, they never did before, but they made it and they liked it." So I think that's the magic of this cookbook, is that if kids try these recipes and make them themselves, it's very likely they're going to like them, and they are very, very good for you.
I have to ask both Victoria and Alice, as parents, we hear Lexi talking about what she wanted to do in regards to the book and her passion in making sure that there was a picture with every recipe and was victorious in kind of getting across that message. How does that make you feel as a parent that, you know what, she fought for what she wanted for this particular book and was successful? Alice, I'll ask you first.
Well, I was really proud of her for that. And I was also really proud of her for learning an enormous amount of patience, because it became very stressful at certain points where decisions had to be made about symbols or wording or lettering. And she didn't always get exactly what she had hoped for. But the things that were really important to her, I was very proud of her for sticking up and saying, "No, this has to be this way."
Well, she's obviously learned dealing with adults. You have to be patient sometimes, because, you know, we're kind of a little unruly sometimes. Victoria, same question to you.
Honestly, my daughter is in the cooking club, and the thing that I hope that she gets from it really is not just maybe some healthy habits. I think Lexi's a tremendous role model. I think that it's always overwhelming a little bit, or at least you can't help but stand a little bit in awe of somebody who has been through so much and so young and remains positive and goal-oriented and attains that goal. I just think that everybody could stand to learn an awful lot from Lexi, quite frankly.
I guess I got to throw it back to you, Lexi. How does it feel when you hear folks commenting like that and given such accolades? I mean, where do you go from here? You have obviously set a goal and achieved it. Have you set a new goal, and what are you doing to achieve it?
Well, I haven't really set a new huge goal. I'm working on another short book. I'm also just working on getting into college and really maybe starting a career. I'm hoping to be a special education teacher. That's what I'm planning on going into. So just getting into college and really working on that.
I'm intrigued, because I would think all the work you did here, normally just say, "Oh my God, she's probably going to be someone who is going to master the culinary field, and she'll be somebody that we're going to see on the next food, on the Food Network on some challenge, or being the next Bobby Flay or whoever the big stars are on that channel, you know, showing folks the latest, ingredients or making something for folks to watch for 30 minutes. Rachel Ray, whatever you want to kind of encapsulate." I'm surprised.
Yeah, so a lot of people say that they're surprised I'm not planning on going into culinary arts. And I love to cook, but I prefer it more as a hobby rather than like a job. And I'm okay at cooking, but I'm very slow and very messy, as my mom can definitely attain to. So I prefer it as a hobby, just something fun to do.
I would steer you to that. You know what? There's nothing wrong with being messy, as long as the end product comes out just right. And actually, it's funny you mention that, because we actually had somebody who was on not too long on our program, who was on The Taste, and one of their big things was they were messy, and they didn't do all that well, but they still were able to. They went a lot further than they thought. But I'm encouraged that, you know what, you realize that, okay, this is something that I achieved, but it's not necessarily something that I'm going to build my life around. Well, we have a couple of minutes left here, and again, I want to thank Alice Williams, as well as her daughter Lexi, for being here, and Victoria. Anything, ladies, that I've omitted from asking in regards to this fantastic book and this great story, Alice?
I think the thing that we want to stress is that it's a cookbook for kids living with cancer, but ultimately, it will help anyone live a healthier life with any other sort of health condition they're struggling with. This cookbook will have your body. The food will go through gently, cleanly, and will not take away from your health and will add to your health. So I really could recommend this book for anyone who just wants to eat in a healthier way.
Victoria, anything you want to kind of say before we close out this segment in the show?
No, but I'd like to reiterate, Alice, I completely agree. I mean, it really, you read the title and you go, oh, okay, it's very specific. And then you read the book and it's just good for anybody. And it also makes a great gift. Can I just say, I've given this cookbook now to 4 different people, and I'm going to be buying more because it's one of those books that I know I'm going to want to have on my shelf because I'll meet that person that shares an interest in cooking, and I'm going to want to give it to them, you know?
Very well said, and I apologize, and I forgot to mention who the individual was who was on the taste, who was a guest, and it was Jen Royal. She was a former sports reporter in the Boston area, and actually she's put out her own product, but you kind of beat her to the punch by about 20 years because if she's an older person, here you are, somebody who's put this together. Anything you want to say in closing, Lexi, whether it's to give folks the website that they can purchase this book or to encourage other kids who may be in a similar disposition as you?
Yes, well, again, the website is donnagreen.com. That's donnagreen.com, and you can purchase the book online there. And just to the other kids, you know, when I eat out of this cookbook, I feel so much stronger and I have so much more energy. And it's okay to cheat once in a while. I do the same thing. You know, you have to live life and you have to enjoy food, but you can also really enjoy food with this cookbook, and you will not regret it. It will definitely be worth it because you'll feel 100% better and you'll still be enjoying the food you eat too.
What a phenomenal story. I congratulate you, Lexi. I congratulate you, Alice.
Thank you.
For not only enduring what you have, but being successful and leading by example. It was an honor to be able to interview you and have you on here on Monday Night Talk and have my audience hear your story. And thank you, Victoria, once again. You're duly responsible for making this come to fruition. Folks, that's it. We have plumb run out of time. Till next week at 6:15 p.m., have a great evening.